The Law of Justification, Elder Bruce R. McConkie, Bruce R. McConkie, Conference Report, April 1956, pages 64-66. We believe in the law of justification. By virtue of this law, if a man walks, acts, and lives in this life in such a manner that his conduct is justified by the Spirit, he eventually will attain an inheritance in the celestial world. On the day the church was organized, April 6, 1830, the prophet, writing by way of prophecy and revelation, summarized the basic doctrines of the church. Among other things, he wrote this: "And we know that justification through the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is just and true." In the summary of the gospel law given in the days of Father Adam, we find the sentence: "For by the water ye keep the commandment, by the Spirit ye are justified, and by the blood ye are sanctified." In the early 1830s, when the Lord was talking to the prophet about what is called the new and everlasting covenant, that is, about the fullness of the gospel, he revealed this further truth relative to this great law of justification, and I think these following words are a perfect one-sentence summary of the whole law of the whole gospel. The Lord said, "All covenants, contracts, bonds, obligations, oaths, vows, performances, connections, associations, or expectations, that are not made and entered into and sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, of him who is anointed, both as well for time and for all eternity, and the two most holy, by revelation and commandment through the medium of mine anointed, whom I have appointed on the earth to hold this power, are of no efficacy, virtue, or force in and after the resurrection from the dead." One more expression in the revelations has bearing on this. The Lord said, "The Holy Spirit of promise, which the Father sheds forth upon all those who are just and true, now, to justify is to seal, or to ratify, or to approve." And it is very evident from these revelations that every act that we do, if it is to have binding and sealing virtue in eternity, must be justified by the Spirit. In other words, it must be ratified by the Holy Ghost, or in other words, it must be sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. All of us know that we can deceive men, we can deceive our bishops or the other church agents, unless at the moment their minds are lighted by the Spirit of revelation, but we cannot deceive the Lord, we cannot get from him an unearned blessing. There will be an eventual day when all men will get exactly and precisely what they have merited and earned, neither adding to nor subtracting from. You cannot with success lie to the Holy Ghost. Now let us take a simple illustration. If an individual is to gain an inheritance in the celestial world, he has to enter in at the gate of baptism, that ordinance being performed under the hands of a legal administrator. If he comes forward prepared by worthiness, that is, if he is just and true, and gains baptism under the hands of a legal administrator, he is justified by the Spirit in the act which has been performed, that is, it is ratified by the Holy Ghost, or it is sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. As a result, it is of full force and validity in this life and in the life to come. If an individual thereafter turns from righteousness and goes off and wallows in the mire of iniquity, then the seal is removed. And so we have this principle which keeps the unworthy from gaining unearned blessings. The Lord has placed a bar which stops the progress of the unrighteous. He has placed a requirement which we must meet. We must gain the approval and receive the sanctifying power of the Holy Ghost if eventually and in eternity we are to reap the blessings that we hope to reap. The same thing that is true of baptism is true of marriage. If a couple comes forward worthily, a couple who is just and true, and they enter into that ordinance under the hands of a legal administrator, a seal of approval is recorded in heaven. Then assuming they do not thereafter break that seal, assuming they keep the covenant and press forward in steadfastness and in righteousness, they go on in the next world as husband and wife, and in and after the resurrection, that ordinance performed in such a binding manner here has full force, efficacy, and validity. I think perhaps this doctrine, as almost all other doctrines that we teach in the church, leads us back to the same central conclusion, which is that it is obligatory upon us to keep the commandments of God if we ever expect to inherit the blessings that he has promised the saints. We should remind ourselves again and again of these words which he has spoken: "He who doeth the works of righteousness shall receive his reward, even peace in this world, and eternal life in the world to come." In the name of Jesus Christ, Amen.